Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I preach to you for the next little while on this subject, the hope of an also. The hope of an also. Would you put your Bibles down on the pew there behind you and just lift up both hands again to the Lord and say, God, minister in this service. Touch our people, touch our church. Let your word go forth with anointing and with unction. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you thanksgiving from our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just before you're seated, let me say one more thing before I get into the word. My wife and I both were so blessed to witness the very kind and attentive way that this congregation ministered to the needs of your pastor and his wife during this latest birth. We were so impressed by that. And we want to say thank you for the way that you love them. I love the way that you love them. We appreciate that. Turn around with somebody, shake their hand and tell them, I'm going to help the preacher preach. Praise the Lord. And you may be seated. Couched in the middle of the first verse of chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah is what appears to be a word of very little significance. The commentaries and the reference books of my library give no attention whatsoever to this particular word. Strong's Concordance doesn't even give it its own designation. It seems that the word is ignored and dismissed as irrelevant and immaterial literary space. For many, it would be a word that your high school or college professor would mark through with a red line and label as unnecessary. But in my mind, it is a critical and intentional inclusion to the entire text. It is the word upon which the entire story of Isaiah 6 hinges and pivots. It is the word also. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. To grasp the purpose of the word also in this text is to understand everything else that Isaiah had seen. He would view the continued calamity and corruption of his beloved Judea. He would witness all of Israel deteriorating and decaying into a backslidden condition. He had seen Israel plunge into an abyss of an abomination and sinful behavior. He would have to watch as pagan Babylon drug God's people into hellish captivity. He would watch as Jerusalem's walls are razed, the temple is burned, and the sacred furnishings, the Ark of the Covenant, the table of showbread, and the brazen altar are vandalized and irreverently hijacked from God's house. He would watch with a pained heart as Hebrew families are shackled and rudely deported to Babylon. And finally, as he dictates in the sixth chapter of the book, he would be forced to watch helplessly as his own beloved king Uzziah dies from the hideous disease of leprosy. Isaiah had seen misery and malice. He had seen pressure and pain. And in just a short period of time, he had seen captivity, calamity, destitution, despair, and even death. It was a year in which death and destruction reigned. It was a season of heartache and hopelessness. A year in which he could say, I saw defeats and discouragement. But the prophet inserts a word that pivots the entire story from tragedy to triumph. He said, yes, I saw a lot of negative. Yes, I saw a lot of defeat. Yes, I saw a lot of discouragement. But those weren't the only things that I saw. Good God Almighty. Because in spite of it all, and behind it all, and on top of it all, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. Woo. I rise from this pulpit tonight to declare that I can endure a lot of junk and jeopardy. I can witness defeat and despair. I can last through pain and peril. I can wade through hell's assaults and satanic attacks. I can manage through the test and the tribulations as long as I carry with me the hope of an also. That in spite of it all, through it all, and on top of it all, somewhere in the context of the story, I will also see the Lord high and lifted up. I saw the Lord also, Isaiah said, high and lifted up. I know it's Wednesday night. I know there's a work day tomorrow. I don't know what you've had to last through today. But I know this, where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, there will I be also. Shakoyehe tola mahaya. Your pastor nor myself have the answers to all of your questions. I don't carry any magic dust in my pocket. I don't have magical incantations that I can speak to cause the pain to be dispersed and go away. I don't know the way to take myself. David said there's times when I don't know how to come in and how to go out. I don't know just exactly what you need. I don't have all the answers to all of your perils and problems, but I know this, if we can just see Jesus in this house tonight, It's the one thing that must happen above everything else. I've got to see the Lord. I read of Greeks that came to the Apostle Philip, and they said, there's something that we're asking for in particular. We're not so impressed with all of your presentations. Don't get us wrong, Apostle, but we like the way you have church. But that's not what we came to see. We didn't come to see your choir. We didn't come to see your musicianship. We didn't come to see your finely tuned programs. But there's one thing in particular that we've come for above everything else. Sir, we would see Jesus. It's the only reason we're here. It's the only reason that we come. Listen to me, Moss Bluff Pentecostals. There's a city outside the four walls of this sanctuary that they desperately need to see Jesus. They need to see his glory. They need to see his power. They need to see his dominion. Don't get me wrong. Sing to the best of your ability. Present your programs with all of the finesse that you can. But when it's all said and done, seeing Jesus is the only thing that matters. I feel his presence here right now, don't you? Come on, I wish we could just lift up our voices to him, call on his name right now. Somebody in this house tonight needs to see Jesus. Somebody with pain in their body needs to see Jesus. Somebody in this service tonight with problems in your home and in your marriage, you need to see Jesus. Hallelujah. Paul would tell the Romans, he said, there will be times when sin will come in with abundance. It will show up in bunches. I remember an old song that was sung out in the world back a few years ago that says, I got heartaches by the number. Oh, some of you smile and you've heard it too. Troubles by the score. The young people have no clue what I'm even talking about. And that's the way sin comes in. In fact, the writer said it will come in at times like a flood. It will seem as though hell has come against you with a relentless fury. But when it does, the writer said, know this, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against it. God has sent me to this pulpit tonight to tell some apostolics in Moss Bluff, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're trying to endure. It doesn't matter what you're trying to last through. As long as you can carry the hope of an also, then I might go through pain, good God Almighty. I might endure suffering. I might have to walk through sickness. There may be problems in my home, but I carry a hope that says that I will also see the Lord high and lifted up. Hallelujah. I read of the prophet Elijah in the place called Dothan. The servant is with him. They're just trying to do the work of God. Amen. Isn't it amazing how the more that we try to do for God, seems the more hell fights us. I want hell to fight me. I want the devil to look at me as a threat. And Elisha is a threat to an evil empire. And they look out and they see a multitude of soldiers that have come for the expressed purpose of killing Elisha and his servant. They see the throng that is in front of them. Commentaries that I've read suggest that there may have been as many as 10,000 soldiers that were arrayed in their finest armor and weaponry just to wipe out two men. They see the glistening sun against the spear tips. They see the flashing metal of hostile swords. They see the bows of the archers, and it looks hopeless at every angle. The servant is so beside himself in fear. He comes to Elisha and he asks, "How shall we do?" Let me put that in contemporary English. He said, "We're in a pickle we ain't getting out of. I don't see our way through this." But you see, the prophet carried with him the hope of an also. I see the swords of an offending army. I see the weaponry of a throng that has come against us. I see the hostility that has mounted with against us. But let me tell you what I also see. And the Bible says he prayed if the eyes of the servant would be opened. And when they were, he saw the mountains and the hillsides filled with the chariots and the horsemen of the Lord. Hallelujah. Can I stand here tonight and tell somebody that temptation is common to us all? Tribulation has been promised to us. It's coming. You're either in one of three stages of tribulation. You're either going into it, you're either in it, or you're coming out of it. Amen. And if you're coming out of it, then brace yourself. The next round is coming. We're going to be tested. We're going to be tried. Amen. He never promised us a bed of roses. But I tell you what he did say. He said, "I don't care what you face, what you go through, what you have to endure. Know this, I've overcome the world. And because I did, you will too." Feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We carry with us the hope of an also. So pour it on thick, devil. Give us your best shot. Hit us with all of hell's fury. But we carry with us as children of God the hope of an also. No one in the history of mankind had to endure more hardships than what Job encountered in his lifetime. He gives you his perspective in the 14th chapter of his poetic book as he says, "Man that is born of a woman is of a few days." Somebody finish it for me. "Full of trouble. But in the middle of trauma beyond comprehension, in the middle of adversity beyond his ability to understand, Job tells us that he also carries the hope of an also. For he says, for there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water..." Through the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Job says, I know it looks to every onlooker and observant that I've been cut down low and life is completely gone from my existence. He said, I know it looks to you and maybe even to hell itself that my situation is hopeless. He said, but every day I get up in the morning looking for the scent of water. Hallelujah. The Bible says, Jesus speaking in John chapter 7, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Ghost, which they should afterward receive. I've got a message for hell tonight. You may try to cut me down to size. You may heap opposition on me like cordwood. It might look to every onlooker that I'm down for the count, but I've come to God's house on another Wednesday night and I'm looking for the scent of water. If I can just find Jesus through my praise and worship to God, if I can just touch his presence, if I can just feel his spirit. Lord have mercy. I've been in revival for 2 weeks in our church and I hadn't preached, and I'd tell it. But I feel something so powerful in this service tonight. I'm reaching out to somebody in this sanctuary that hell has unnecessarily tried to convince you that your options were out. There was nothing left to turn to. There's no recourse for you. You're down for the count, and your history, as far as your prosperity spiritually and physically is concerned. But God has sent a preacher from Central Texas to tell you tonight that as long as you carry with you the hope of an also that says, I might have seen trouble, I might have seen pain, I might have seen affliction, but I also will see the Lord. Woo! Shandobore kelelobo sandarabahaya. I wish you'd just lift up your hands right now and give God the praise. I feel the presence of the Lord in this service. I don't have to finish this sermon. I don't have to complete what I'm preaching here tonight. I feel a move of the Holy Ghost that wants to break loose in this place on a Wednesday night. Hallelujah. Don't count me out. Don't say I'm done for. Don't look at me as a lost cause, because I have the hope of an also. If I can just see the Lord also. Hallelujah. My dear friend Les was an airline pilot for Delta Airlines. He had quickly climbed up their corporate structure and was flying equipment that should have been beyond him. He had a salary, he had an income that was more than I could have ever comprehended. When he told me what it was, I was totally blown away. He lived in a home in a suburb of Dallas valued at $800,000. Drove Mercedes-Benz automobiles and had everything that his heart desired. On the golf course one day, he made friendships with a group of men who turned out to be high-stakes gamblers. And Les began to participate in these games of risk. What he didn't know was that these men were also multinational drug traffickers. And when a high-dollar wager went bad for Les, and he owed several thousand dollars that he couldn't pay back, They gave him the opportunity to have the debt forgiven if he would just make one single drug drop for them. He agreed. Wouldn't you know it? He got busted. He was handcuffed. He was brought to the Lou Sterrett Justice Center near downtown Dallas. In the course of his conviction, he plea bargained in an agreement to testify against the men that had so shoddily used him. But in the course of it all, Les lost his pilot's license. He lost his job with Delta. They had to sell the home in Rockwall. They had to allow the Mercedes-Benz automobiles to be repossessed. His wife Barbara had a mother that lived in Ranger, Texas, in a little two-bedroom frame house out in the country. Because they had lost everything, there were no other options for them but to move in with Barbara's mother. What Les didn't know was that Barbara herself was a backslidden apostolic and had been away from God for a long time. They moved in to that house, and the first Sunday rolled along, and Barbara came to church. And God wonderfully refilled her with the Holy Ghost. Les was so standoffish at first, he couldn't hardly even come around. He was angry. He was belligerent. Didn't want anything to do with anybody, but over a period of time. I'm talking about a man that knew what it was to live in high cotton, and now here he was at the bottom rung of the ladder. I'll never forget the night that Les came to church and God brought him down to an altar of prayer, and for the very first time he repented of his sins and God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I put him down in water in the name of Jesus, and Les became a changed man. Oh, I know to the untrained eye, to those that have no spiritual aptitude to look at Les, they would see a man that had lost everything. But Les had a whole different perspective. He told me, he said, "Pastor, if it took me losing everything for me to gain Jesus, then it was worth it all. If it took me losing that two-story house in Rockwall and my German import automobiles to find Jesus, then it was worth it all." Oh, I'm talking about a man that had seen pain and poverty. He had seen terror. He had seen loss. He had seen affliction and a demise of his fortunes. But in the end, he saw also the Lord high and lifted up. Hallelujah. I've come to tell somebody right now, you're looking around and you're wondering to yourself, why am I going through the stuff I'm enduring right now? Why am I facing the adversity that I'm walking through right now? Why won't this pain be resolved? Why won't the answers come? I wished I could have answers for you. I wished I could tell you when God is going to overturn your captivity. But I can give you a hope today. I don't know when God is going to change it all. I don't know just when God is going to come to your rescue. But I know, as a child of God that's been bought by his own precious blood, you carry with you tonight the hope of an also that says, even though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I know I'm going to see the Lord. Hallelujah. Musicians, you can come. I'm just about through. Feel like God's about to do something. And number two, I'm just about out of breath. I'll never forget how low and depressed Sister June was in my church there in Brownwood when she came back after her diagnosis from the doctor. She looked at me with tears streaming down her face and she was heaving in sobs. She said, "Pastor, the doctor said I have stage 4 cancer. That it's terminal. That I've only got a few months to live." That was on a Saturday evening, sitting in my office with my wife in attendance. I said, "Sister June, I don't know just how and I don't know just when. I said, but don't you ever forget the fact that the same God that saved you from the curse of sin has the power to overturn your sickness and disease." She made her way to the front that very next night. She lifted both hands up and she looked at me. She said, "Pastor, I'm up here to get my healing in Jesus' name." I wished I could say this about everyone I've ever laid hands on and prayed for, but I didn't say it about Sister June Gresham. I laid hands on her and I prayed the prayer of faith and invoked the name of Jesus, and I felt the virtue of heaven touch her. It surged down my shoulder through my arm and hit her on the top of her head. She fell backwards talking in tongues. She went back the next week and said, "Doctor, run the test again. Do all the scans again." He looked at her and said, "Mrs. Gresham, it'll be no good. I told you, you're going to die of this cancer." She said, "Look, I think there's been a change. I want you to look at it once again." So they ran the test. They ran the scans. I was in the hospital room with her when the doctor came in. You go ahead and start playing some. She looked at him and said, "Doctor, what's the report?" I watched him. He kind of shuffled around. I'm talking about a grown man acting like a kid that had just been caught stealing something. Shuffling around, looking at his shoe tops. Finally, he looked at me and he said, "Well, June, you don't have cancer." She said, "Could you say that again a little more loudly?" He said, "Mrs. Gresham, I don't know if we misdiagnosed you. I don't know if there was something on the scans that we thought we saw but was never there to begin with, but you're cancer free. You don't have cancer. So, Mrs. Gresham, just go home, live a long, happy life, and know that you've survived this one." You know why she survived? Because she served a God who gives to us the hope of it also. I don't care what I see on the x-ray. I don't care what I see on the doctor's reports. I've got the hope of seeing the Lord also high and lifted up. Stand to your feet all over this house. Lift your voice to God. My Lord, I feel the power of the Spirit in this house right now. Now, I've got a pretty good idea that maybe what God is about to do right now, what we're feeling at this moment, is beyond normal for a Wednesday night. It has nothing to do with me, but it has to do with the divine intent and what God has come to do. I want everybody in this house right now that's battling sickness and disease, affliction and pain, I don't care what it is. And maybe you were just about at the point to where you were just ready to just agree with it and cope with it and say, "All right, this is just something I've got to live with. Not as long as you maintain the hope of an also that says, I've seen the doctor's reports, I've seen the diagnosis, but I believe that I also can see the Lord high and lifted up. If you want healing tonight, I want you to come and line up in front of this platform.